start, and I do think and hope we have got all of us had the report, the documents for this presentation, because it's quite an important presentation for us as the committee, because it also gives us an opportunity to conduct our oversight. Well, oversight is not only by visiting an institution, but it's also ensuring that the department is here to take us through on their quarterly reports in terms of the financial years. I do think that if there's any indication that nobody hasn't got a document in terms of the honourable members, that must have, we must then indicate. We will then do the formalities, because I want us not to take much of our time. Time is needed for the actual presentation. We will then go into the introduction. And for the benefit of those that may be coming for the first time, you will use the mic next to you in terms of introducing yourself to us, your name, your surname, and which organization you are coming from. Phones are to be on silent. Please, if you are to answer it, you are free to go outside. And participants are only honorable members and those that the department in this case. So those are the honorable members that will ask questions, and it will be the department that will respond. If a person wants to, a guest, want to have an interaction, we'll do that during break. But during the proceedings, those are the two people present that have got that responsibility. I'm Linda Ratunjo. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Next to me on my left-hand side is Vyoga Matalamba, who is the committee secretary at the back. At the extreme left is Lindo Kuhle, our content advisor. Next to her is Zubair, who is our researcher. Next to him is Asanda, who is the researcher of the study group of the African National Congress. Next to her is Moses, who is part of the research team. On that extreme side is Mbali, who is the committee assistant. Next to her is Nolthando, who is the secretary to the whip of the African National Congress. I think those are the people that, then I will then allow honorable members to introduce themselves. After that, it will be the department. And then lastly, it will be anybody who is a guest. Thank you very much. Over to you, honorable members.
Dumela. I'm Dr. Maisela, member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Adams, member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Fish Mahlalela.
Good morning. Dr. Tembekwayo, member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Lungiswa James, member of the Portfolio Health.
Good morning. My name is Bulelo Gonzo, member of the committee. Thank you.
Did you?
Good morning, honorable members and honorable chair. My name is Malibona Precious Matusa, and the DG of Health.
Chair members, my name is Ian van der Merwe, I'm the CFO at National Health.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members. I'm Gail Andrews, COO National Department of Health.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members. My name is Valerie Rennie, I'm Head of Corporate Services, National Health.
Good morning, Chair. Frank Makua, Parliamentary Support Office of the Minister.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Joe Maile. I'm the spokesperson for the Department of Health.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Cindy Lasolda from the National Department of Health.
Good morning, members. I'm Siyabonga Mkhwanazi, a journalist from Independent Newspapers.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Tawagas Kosama, Minister of Health.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Mava. I am from Parliamentary Communication Services.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. I'm Jeanette Hunter, the DDG for Primary Healthcare at the National Department of Health.
Introduce yourself.
Hi, committee and chair. My name is Paul Irwin from News 24.
And Paul, the effort for me, can I put it to work?
I didn't hear the name where you were coming from.
Paul, the effort? I'm from Netwerk, put into work. I'm a journalist.
Lindsay Dentlinger, also a journalist from Prime Media.
Martin Malenga. From Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much. We've got apologies. We've just got a couple of apologies. Honorable Mapanga is attending agriculture. Ms. Kopane has got prior commitments. Mr. Imam Sheikh, oversight with appropriations. And Honorable Jafta is with Mineral Resources. Mineral Resources Oversight. Those are the approaches that we're having. Honorable Ndaba is going to join us late. He's in the AgCorp. He's attending another meeting in another committee, so he will join us. She will join us at past 10 something to 11. Those are the approaches that we're having. Thank you very much. Over to you, DJ.
Chair, thank you. The ministers attending the main combat cannot be with us, and the DM is still not back from sick leave. Thank you, honorable members. This is the quarter one report. I also wanted to confirm that we sent our comments on the, we send our responses on comments made on the on the APG. Chair, our report will be in relation to the programs, administration, health training and systems enablement, HIV, AIDS, TB, and CWH, PHC services, hospital tertiary services and the workforce development, as well as health regulation and compliance management. Chair, based on the previous comments of the committee in relation to the targets that are set, I just wanted to confirm that 19 of our targets are annual. Only one target is a 6-monthly target, and 93 of our targets are quarterly targets. So in total, a chair will be reporting on 113 targets. Under program one, chair, with regard to the effective financial management and accountability by improving audit outcomes. I just wanted to say, Chair, we had put the number of provinces that will be supporting to achieve a good audit outcome. And in terms of our quarter one performance, we've got provincial health departments that have unqualified audit. The new province that has achieved an unqualified audit is Free State. Unfortunately, Northwest has regressed. We had still hoped that we'll be having that target of 5. Our vacancy rate is kept at 10%, but it's an annual target because with the
current financial fiscal constraints, we've been asked to tightly monitor the COE, and I'd like at some stage that you talk about what vacancy rate means in relation to deliverables. The next is about senior managers who have entered into performance agreements. There's only one person who did not sign, and this is our official who is in Cuba, but all managers have signed their performance agreement. The next is about managing human resources effectively, and this is specifically human resources at national level. It's not human resources across the whole country. And it is also to make sure that our staff well-being is well looked after. We have a target of 35% of our 1,504 employees, and of these, our achievement is about 36.8% for this quarter. The next one is about ensuring that we've got a business continuity plan. We've done a self-assessment based on the ISO 22300 standard, and firstly we started by reviewing the existing documentation, tested these against our ISO standards, so we are on track with regard to the business continuity plan. With regard to communication and integrated communication strategy, there's been about 13 communication interventions that were planned, but we've achieved far more in terms of those. As you may be aware, Chair, there's a campaign called PILA campaign, and during the minister's budget we try to popularize this. We also met some member yesterday wearing the PILA t-shirt, and we're very pleased that it wasn't a once-off event, and we'd like to see more of that, because it's a message to say we'd like this campaign popularized. With regard to Program 2, National Health Insurance, Health Planning and Systems Enablement, firstly, the white paper, the final white paper was finalized and gazetted on the 30th of June, meaning the target was met. And with regard to legislation on NHI, the draft is that we must have the bill in the first quarter gazetted. Now, if you look at the sequence of events, Chair, we cannot have a gazetting until the white paper is released as policy. Otherwise, it will send a message that you are developing bills before even Cabinet has approved the white paper. So the white paper was released. The process of drafting the bill is underway. It will go through the various processes. Firstly, we have to conduct SIA, socioeconomic impact analysis. This we do with the Department of DPME, and based on that, we also write the state law advisors just for them to do the certification before we even submit to Cabinet. And in that process, we also have to submit to the FOSA structure, which is a forum of directors general, so that the whole of government can also have an opportunity to see what is provided for in the bill, because this bill is going to affect other pieces of legislation of other government departments. So the first is for them to start seeing what is in the National Health Insurance Bill, and based on that, before it even gets tabled to Cabinet committees and Cabinet, we should have consulted firstly within government. So that process has started. The second, Chair, is with regard to the establishment of the National Health Insurance Fund. This work has actually begun in that the funding modality
based on the five key areas that the minister prioritized, we've asked Treasury to look at what the modality will be, because at the moment you can't create a fund without a bill. But then the question is, should we wait for the bill? If the bill is only going to be tabled in Parliament next year, in essence it means if we do nothing, we'll just wait until the bill is passed, hopefully next year, and it means the fund will only be created in 2019. So our view is that we needed to start doing groundwork so that in that period, by the time the bill is established, we don't only start then to create the structures. I think that is a sequencing issue. The second chair is about focusing the PAC services. That work has been concluded. We have a team that from our side is led by the CFO and working with Treasury to look at the vehicles that we'll use in the interim. And they met yesterday, and I'm still awaiting the report from that team as to what are they proposing. Chair, we're actually estimating that we can actually start doing certain activities, just preparatory work. And this is based on the pilot, the work that we did in NHI pilot. Now, the outcome of that, we're of the view that, and I want to use an example, Chair. We have just about 3 million learners that we assessed. Now, of the 3 million learners, we know that 500,000 of them have barriers to learning. Now, if we are going to just sit and do nothing, it means we'll have to wait for the bill. In the meantime, nothing happens to the 500,000 learners. So we are proposing that we have to intervene with regard to the 500,000 learners, because we know what the barriers are. Barriers to hearing, sight, and we would like at least that work to inform how we then structure the services in future for NHI. Equally, we are arguing that people with disabilities, you can't postpone mental health. Based on the experience we learned from Gauteng, we are of the view that those are the kind of services we don't have to postpone for women and children. So we the minister has categorized those specifically to say actually we could start from April if Treasury finds this vehicle on how best we can render these services. But then it's just to get the building blocks in place. And this is where we are, Chair. The next is about the National Stock Management Surveillance Center. In terms of those, we had identified largely the primary healthcare clinics. And for quarter one, we had indicated that would have 300 facilities, and we've been able to get 3,272 health facilities with these services, including hospitals. And of these, 191 are hospitals, and 3,081 are primary health care clinics. The medicine procurement unit, Mpumalanga and Northern Cape have established such, and we are busy working with them. The project plan for both PMPU has been developed for Northern Cape. So we are on track with regard to that. Those who are enrolled to be on CCMDD, Chair, this is one area where would also like to scale up, and this will also be a mechanism by which we do some contracting arrangements. It's one of the areas that we piloted as part of the NHI, and we'd like to scale that up. And so far we've got about just over 1.5 million patients who have been enrolled, and we can do this speedily. The debate that you are having with Treasury, and it's the debate about the creation of the vehicle. We are arguing that we cannot, as part of preparing for NHI, we cannot create work on the basis of a grant, because granting is not a suitable vehicle for kickstarting NHI, and that's the vehicle that Treasury would advise on how best we can address that. The advert for the person who led NHI has gone out, and we hopefully will find someone who will be dedicated with a team to do this work and nothing else. So with regard to antimicrobial resistance, our annual target is to have a monitoring system for resistance, and we've done a gap analysis of surveillance and human resources needed. With regard to traditional health practitioners, the amendment bill, we have a draft that has been prepared. It will go through the process that I described earlier for NHI, and we've just recently appointed the registrar for traditional health practitioners council, and at least we have a person now dedicated to do this work. A national electronic system to monitor and supply performance. The quarterly performance of each supplier is normally produced. This is the area where I write provinces. They've not paid within 30 days, and we follow up on those, because sometimes suppliers don't supply medicines and we get out of stock. So we monitor that very, very closely. With regard to transparency, we'd like to promote transparency and multi-stakeholder engagement, particularly with regard to medicine availability. And the first forum meeting was convened on the 19th of June. Revenue collection, the revenue retention model, particularly in central hospitals. We have shared this. There's a forum called 10 by 10. This is a meeting of heads of treasury in provinces and heads of health, national treasury and national health. We use that forum to identify areas where there are problems. And we presented this because we'd like a whole of government, meaning in each province, support of treasury, but also implementation of this revenue retention model. We've also come up with a electronic interface where we're piloting in central hospitals an electronic data interchange. And Chair, we're pleased to say that there was a controversy around access to data of people who are on medical aid, because that information is important for preparing for NHI. We've got legal opinion that there's nothing wrong with this, so we should access that information so that we can have that switch. So I have actually set up a committee that will help us with that transition, so that we have one central place where this information is available. With regard to single exit price adjustments, the single exit price adjustment for 2017-18, it was gazetted and published. With regard to e-health strategy, we currently looking at coming up with an integrated patient-based management information system. As I speak, Chair, we have just under 12 million
around 12 million people now who are registered on the system. And we're hoping that by the end of the financial year we would have covered most of our primary healthcare facilities. In fact, our annual target is 2,450 facilities where we should have this registration. And by quarter one, we had 1,900. We're hoping that we'll probably have even surpassed the 2,450, because the more facilities have systems, the more people can register in preparation for national health insurance. Part of the reason we were trying to get data from the medical aid is because there are about 8 million people who are covered by medical aid. The 12 million are actually not. These are people who use our facilities. So just having the 12 million and the 8 million will help. It means we'll have 20 million people on the system immediately. So that on its own is a very big kind of step in preparation for national health insurance. We're also in consultation with the Department of Science and Technology because they are the ones who have been helping us develop the system, the information system that is currently being used for registration of patients. Chair, we had also mentioned that we'll do the South African Demographic Health Survey. The results were released by the Statistician General. The research database was also reviewed and aligned. And we also have a Pan-African Clinical Trial Registry, which is in line with the World Health Organization. With regard to the Integrated Monitoring and Evaluation Plan, we have actually started the evaluation process. So the over the period when we were running pilots, we're doing what we call reviews, but this is an overall evaluation of the whole pilot, because we're using those lessons learned for rolling out. Like I was saying, assessment of learners is one big area that we think we need immediate intervention. We don't have to postpone and wait for the bill. And the next one is about domestication of our international treaties and multilateral cooperation. Chair, in this round, we are, South Africa is the chair of the SADC region, and some of the things we will be working on as part of the multilateral framework, for instance, the work that we do on TB in the mines is one area of significance in the region. The second area is the elimination of malaria. We call it E8. We will be working and driving this in the SADC region. And the third chair is our cross-border HIV-related activities. So there are very specific activities that we'll be driving as chair of SADC. For the bilateral framework, we will be working on six annually, and so far we have one. We have six that we've implemented. Meanwhile, we're ahead, so we'll also be working with DECO to ensure that we can monitor some of these. The APPs by provinces, nine provincial APPs have been reviewed and aligned, and this is an annual target. Chair, if possible, when we submit our APPs, if it's desirable, we can also share the draft that we've worked on with the provinces so that we can show alignment between the APP that we develop at national and those that we help provinces to develop, so that you can see how we work with provinces. I think it will probably help, because sometimes when we present our plans alone, and you don't get to see the provincial plans, but we do help them. So we'll just share those, even in draft form, so that you can have a sense of what those plans look like.
the patient experience of care serving care. We've just finished the primary health care. We finished the guidelines, developed them. We even conducted a survey in this quarter. If you allow us, Dr. Gail Andrews will share the report on the what people say are their experiences in our clinics. It's an independent survey that is conducted, but Chair, what we are doing with this, we are saying there must be independent surveys conducted annually where people say what their concerns are, what their experiences are. So we finished the one for primary health care, so we've just started another one at hospital level, because the experiences in clinics are not exactly the same as what patients go through in hospitals. So the next one is the training on complaints, compliments, and suggestions. We were also of the view that sometimes people don't just complain. We do get SMS messages, sometimes they send emails and mention a doctor who treated them well or a nurse. They do that from time to time. Like they'll send an email, I was at this hospital, I was treated very well. Some will complain that I was treated badly. So we get those, and we would like to document all of these complaints as well as compliments. But also in this exercise, we also want suggestions from members of the public on how best what their expectations are and how best they want to be treated. So we've developed those guidelines. So where we are, we're already collecting data. So for program research on maternal neonatal morbidity and mortality, four quarterly reports are supposed to be produced. So the national quarterly report for quarter four was produced and with recommendations. And in fact, this week the minister was having a presentation from the confidential inquiry, the committees that he appoints, to give us an update on the data. Those committees are useful in a sense that they independently go to the facilities and they look at institutional mortality, meaning they look at real data. They look at the numbers to say in these facilities, this is the status. They go into files, they look at the causes, they also do the diagnosis of the problem. So it's a very objective way of us looking at whether our interventions for maternal and child work or not. And equally the PMTCT, we also say that we'd like to reduce it even below 1.5. And as it is, we completed a number of districts. And of these 17 districts were identified to target this year, and 65% of those have remedial plans. Cervical cancer control, Chair, both cervical and breast cancer, the policy has been developed, the people have been trained in selected facilities in provinces. It's not all. We had actually planned to launch this last month, Chair, but we were still trying to make sure that the medicine, particularly Septin, is available. I think the minister might have mentioned that it's probably some of those unaffordable medicines. As an example, Herceptin is how much? 24,000 per vial. And if you're eligible for treatment, you're supposed to have 17. So you can just calculate 24,000 times 17. So it's an area where we're trying to find how we can make this affordable. And we started another process of the lymphoma
for leukemia, another similar product, which is about 80,000 per month, and people need it for 6 months, meaning 80,000 per month, and you must have it for 6 months. So with regard to cancer check, it's not just human resources, it's not just about screening, it's also after you screen patients, they have to be on treatment. And as it is, it's not affordable, and we've been working hard to find affordable options so that people can be on treatment. Child health programs, National Quarterly Monitoring Dashboard. We have a dashboard report for quarter four and with recommendations. So these recommendations are shared with provinces. And the remedial plans to reduce severe acute malnutrition, Eastern Cape and Northwest have remedial plans, and Eastern Cape provincial plans has been shared with us, and we're hoping that we'll have a follow-up soon, because these are the provinces that were of major concern to us. Maternal, newborn, child, adolescent, and women's health nutrition strategy. So the strategies were finalized. A Road to Health booklet, even this one has been sent out for printing. It was finalized and approved. To cut down on printing costs, Chair, our policy is that for every policy document strategy, they must all be posted on the web. But we still go for print because our view is that there are people who do not have access to internet, and we must still give them hard copies. So we go for print for that purpose because we don't assume that everybody has access to internet. But the approach also is that some of our guidelines and documents, well, Dr. Pillay, the two Dr. Pillays have developed apps. So if you want, you can get guidelines on the app. So you don't have to even go on the web or whatever. So if you want whatever treatment guideline, you can immediately get it on an app. So because South Africans have cell phones, at least even if they don't have access to internet, maybe they can at least read them from their tools, electronic tools. Maternal mortality under five. Firstly, the situation analysis is supposed to be conducted in provinces. So we started by review of protocols and tools, and at the moment we still collecting, so we have not met that target yet. EPI coverage, we've done survey, we've sort of developed the plan, and we will, I think, because this is an annual target, we'll be able to finish. So for the quarter one, as a milestone, we have that plan. Access to adolescent and youth health services. The policy has been developed, but now the next process will be implementation. The HIV, TB, STI infection. Chair, in this particular regard, we wanted the district implementation plans to be developed, and we are hoping that all 52 districts will have these plans, and with an aim to reach the 1990 target, both for TB and HIV. So the conditional grants, we are currently looking at performance of the conditional grants in relation to these implementation plans, so that the grants by themselves, as they are developed, we can match them to these. So this is ongoing work. With regard to TB, patient retention, MDR TB, you may be aware, honorable members, that we've actually put a lot of patients on bedaquiline. the last time we were here, you may recall there was an issue about patients that were on MDR treatment and had hearing losses. In fact, if patients are switched and are put on bitacoline, it deals with that problem. And we're probably one of the, probably in the world, one country that has the most patients on bitacoline. We've also started the second program for XDR-TB on the Dilaranit. And at the moment, it's still a restricted number, but at least the success rate of Dilaranit is quite significant for both XDR and bitacoline for MDR. So it's a very positive development, but these are products that must be protected because you don't just want to use them wisely because they help us fight resistance. So number of provinces with sentinel sites, there are three provinces for now with IPT. This is the INH prophylaxis treatment. And the hospitals that are implementing safety and helping us find TB cases actively and separating them safely as well as treating them effectively. So there are four hospitals. And we had targeted 15. So 14 are implementing this, but we need to, it means we've exceeded the target. For the dashboard reporting on TB, four national quarterly reports are expected, and I think in the first quarter, we produced one for the fourth quarter. So it means the first quarter one will always be reporting in the next quarter, the report of the previous quarter. So number of facilities that have supervisory and support visit for the implementation of TB quarterly improvement, we had actually said it will be six, and here we haven't achieved much, so we're not doing well there, Chair. Under four, on primary health care, improvement of district governance and management and leadership. So here, Chair, we would like to have every district have proper governance and management. And we don't want to just stop with the guidelines. We would also like a mechanism by which we can hold provinces to follow what is in the guidelines. And we have already approved this as Tech NHC, and we're hoping that we'll start the process of implementation. If we don't do the check, I can't see how best we'll be able to implement NHI. Because in the National Health Insurance Policy document, we actually deliberately talk about the creation of these district management teams. Now, if we don't, you know, follow these guidelines, it is going to be very difficult to do precisely that. The number of primary healthcare facility committees that have been assessed. Now, this is one area of interest, Chair. We were arguing that every primary health care must have a committee. But increasingly, we're seeing that there are obviously governance problems. Because for a clinic to function, it must have a clinical committee. For a hospital to function, it must have a hospital board. And these are the structures that we think need to be in place. It will help us with these exercises on patient experiences so that complaints and all these proposals can actually come to these structures. So there's obviously an area of improvement there, Chair. We have the committees. I don't think that is arguable. It's the functionality of these committees that I think we want to focus on. We've assessed them, but we want a much more rigorous process about their functionality. Access to community-based PHC services, again, Chair, with the ward-based based primary healthcare outreach teams. We have functional about 3,500 of these. And remember, in each, these are teams, it's not necessarily individuals. The last audit we did with Treasure, we have about 68,000 share community health workers that form part of these teams. Quality of services, there are about 1,037 primary healthcare facilities in 52 districts that have an ideal clinic status. And with regard to people with disabilities and access to services, 32% of our PC facilities are accessible to people with physical disabilities. And the hospital framework, we started again an ideal district hospital framework, and this has been discussed and the terms of reference finalized. For the environmental health services, 20 municipalities must be audited. For the first quarter, we've done 5, so it means we'll be doing 5 per quarter, so we're on target. Action plans for implementation with regard to facilities that adhere to healthcare risk, waste management norms and standards. The action plans have been developed and approved, and 5 public health facilities have been audited. And for the entry in our port health services, 10 commercial ports, we have to be compliant with the international health regulations. And for the baseline, I think 44 have plans of action. And then the media campaigns, like earlier I was saying that we have a media campaign plan, and the plan will also be implemented in quarter two. The first quarter we developed the plan. The government departments that are oriented on a national guide for healthy meal provision, 3 government departments have been targeted: education, social development, and we signed an MOU with the Department of Sports and Recreation, not just for meals, but mainly for healthy lifestyles. And from this perspective, Chair, we were not doing this for healthy meal. We decided we'll run the sports and recreation activity as a healthy lifestyle, but not necessarily meal, but for them to drive the physical activity agenda for us. So we will be, from now onwards, most of the activities will be driven by them, will play a supportive role, and others will be driven by us. Early childhood development, we've got an implementation plan that we jointly developed with the Department of Social Development. The labeling of packaging of tobacco, it's one of those bills, Chair, that will hopefully bring to Parliament next year about plain packaging. And salt content, we've not taken samples as yet. We're supposed to have selected in each of the 13 regulated food categories and tested these, of course, for the year. So in the first quarter, we haven't as yet taken any of the samples. The National Health Commission, Chair, this is one of the commissions that is mentioned in the white paper that is supposed to be established. As you know, it's one of those that we've announced that it should be created. And it has been adopted, and we will be working on that process. Access to and quality of mental health services. 10 district mental health teams were supposed to have been established. Only 7, Chair, were established eight, not 7. And it means there's an extra one. So hopefully by the end of the year there will be more of these developed. rehabilitation. We're supposed to have conducted a survey. For the first quarter, we've developed a tool. We'll still be on track to conduct the survey, and hopefully by the end of the financial year, we'll have the results. Malaria. We are one of the malaria elimination countries, Chair. And our incidence per 1,000 population at risk has been actually 0.2 per 1,000. In quarter one, we saw a figure of 0.1 cases per 1,000. Even though it shows that, you know, we exceeded the target, I must say, Chair, I'm not very comfortable in the sense that we saw a surge in Limpopo. So in the rainy season, we have to be combat ready, precisely because we were supposed to, in 2018, to be eliminating. So we hopefully will still be there, but we're targeting those high transmission area in Limpopo. Nine malaria targeted districts are supposed to be reporting, and for our quarter one, it's supposed to have been seven, and we have all nine. And the reason we have all nine is because of that surge that we saw. So we worked with NICD, sent teams, ordered medication for them, both from Mpumalanga and Limpopo in particular. The province that was doing well was actually KZN. The problem was Limpopo. They were struggling, so we managed to assist. The outbreak response teams that have been trained, training material in the first quarter has been developed, and we're hoping that we'll be getting all teams in all provinces ready for any form of outbreak. Even though South Africa has not had any big outbreaks like we've seen in other countries, like cholera recently reported in most of the countries, Nigeria, Somalia, and so on. We've not had that kind of situation, but we are, again, getting ready by training our teams. High-risk population that are covered for seasonal influenza, about 734,000 individuals, just over 734,000 were vaccinated. And the regulations for transplantation, we've developed these, shared these with the state law advisor, and we're hoping that in the second quarter they will be finalized. For dialysis, we also have a draft with the state law advisors, and these will also be finalized. Policy framework for eye health, we finalized the policy framework, engage stakeholders, oral health, similarly. So for program size on hospital tertiary services and workforce development, firstly, the number of hospitals that must have a performance of 75% in terms of the national cost standard. Our target was 43 for the year, meaning 8 central hospitals, 15 tertiary, and 20. So we'll be reporting by end of the year. For those that must be benchmarked against organizational structure, for the 3 central hospitals, we have an approved structure. It has been agreed to by the National Health Coordinating Committee, and it must still serve at the NHC. So we have not yet finalized this, because unless it's approved by NHC, it's not yet achieved. So health workforce staffing norms, this is the work that we completed at clinic level, and we've done similar work at hospital level, and we are ready for implementation. In fact, we started implementation in clinics. this staffing norms for hospitals, like I say, the guidelines have been extrapolated for hospitals, but they had to be adapted. National Human Resource for Health Strategy is currently undergoing review, Chair, and we of course, based on these committees that we're proposing for NHI, one of them was supposed to specifically look at the Human Resource for Health review results. Ministerial task team on expanded program on integrated academic integration, academic integration program. This task team was established, and this is mainly to prepare for the students who will be coming back from Cuba, because we've got a lot of students, and our universities have to be ready to take on board more students, particularly for to do their last leg. Normally they have a certain number of students that they accommodate. So now they have to expand their training platform for that purpose. Managers that are accessing coaching and mentoring programs, so 80 hospital managers and 800 facilities. So here, Chair, we have not met our target. As you see, we've only done 19 of the hospital managers and very few of our clinic managers. For the managers who are using the Knowledge Hub, even here we've not met our targets. For tertiary hospitals, we've approved National Tertiary Services Grant, and also the tertiary hospitals, we've approved service specification. This will be reporting because these are our annual targets. For nursing qualification program, Chair, this work has been concluded, and I think we had a handover ceremony, and Dr. Andrews will report back on this. Now, it's a very important development, Chair, in a sense that the Department of Higher Education has determined that nursing education must be part of higher education. Now, in essence, what it means is that we had to get our colleges ready so that we are compliant. We had repeatedly asked for extension, but they had made a determination that 2019 is a definitive date by which they shall be compliant. So it's a very important development in a sense that we have to be ready for that. And even that Dr. Andrews will say, what is it that we did to prepare working with the colleges and also universities, the faculties, the health sciences faculties. And again, national policy for the management and nursing placement. We have a problem statement that has been developed, but also some guidelines on how the nurses must, because this has been an ongoing problem about moonlighting, because it's the agencies that get nurses from our facilities. So we need to have a policy to deal specifically with that. Norms and standards for decentralized clinical training. We've finished the situation analysis, so hopefully by the end of the year these norms and standards will be published for implementation. Quality of health infrastructure, we had identified about 197 facilities that they would be repaired, refurbished and maintained, 321 at district level, and 42 community health centers, and as well as 8 hospitals. So by end of the year, we'll be reporting on all those annual targets. The number of provinces that are monitored to comply with EMS, we've come up with a checklist which was approved, and we'd like to start the process of monitoring compliance. So by the end of the year, we'll come back to you and tell you how many of the provinces are complying and how many are not. For training, and ensuring that there is a policy on education and training, that policy has been developed, but now we have to be monitoring as to how best they are complying, and we started that in the last quarter. Regulations for emergency care centers, the draft chair was published, and in fact, as I speak, it was undergoing translation. It's done on our part. The state law advisor was checking whether the translation is correct in all recommended languages. Even for mass gathering, we've developed a system for mass gathering. For forensic pathology, the regulations were published, and in fact were finalized. Now, because NHC should be meeting to approve them, they will then go out for public comment. Equally, the scope of practice of forensic pathology services, even the regulations for that chair will be approved by NHC, meaning Tech NHC has finalized both those sets of regulations. Health facilities that are designated to render services for management of sexual and related offences. Even though this is an annual target chair, we've got a very interesting initiative in Northwest. They started setting up these clinics. They've got a few for now. They call them clinics. They are almost like Tutuzelas. But remember, Tutuzelas are established by Department of Justice. The Komoto are established by the department. So Northwest is busy piloting this. We'll see whether we can expand this beyond Northwest based on the experience. The blood alcohol test, chair, for the target that we had set, about 8,000, about 30.5% of the 30.5 samples have been tested. And with regard to toxicology, I think there we're not doing very well. We're supposed to be at 10%, we are at 3.1. Memoranda of understanding between ourselves and transport. A pilot of breathalyzer test is being done in the Western Cape, and based on that, we'll sign an MOU. For food analysis, we're supposed to have done about 100%. We're doing not so well. We're at 27.8%. Mm. On Program 6 Chair, the South African Health Product Regulatory Authority, the MOU has not been signed, Chair, because the board will be established, and we will sign the MOU with the board, and the board must appoint the CEO. So we had to first await the publication of the regulations, await public comment, and based on that, there's always been a debate about whether do we need regulations or not. Now, because the Act, the previous Act still referred to NCC, not SAPRA, so we had to align both. National Health Laboratory Service, Chair, this is the process that is currently underway, even for NAPISA. I will not refer to those. Newly appointed boards, the South African Health, like I said, we are supposed to have the SAPRA board. I think the minister will be announcing soon who the members of the board was. Like I said, we had quite a lot of people here because of the interest that has been shown. Governance monitoring system. There's been a governance report of 4 health entities and 6 statutory bodies developed. Just on the expenditure, Chair, I will do the first part and the CFO will present on the conditional grants. If you look at our summary, we actually are on target. I mean, it's very uncharacteristic that it's exactly 25%. But if you go per program, you'll see where the differences are, in a sense that for the health regulation and compliance management, we're actually at 46%. Precisely because if you look at the E&E and the budget of the Minister of Finance, it was anticipated that SAPRA would be established and that there'll be a transfer. So you can't transfer money into an entity that does not exist, but you must continue paying salaries. So the staff is still in the department. As soon as the board is established and we sign an MOU, then we will then establish how the reporting will be. At the moment, the reporting is still under us, and I think the CFO will explain. With regard to compensation, Chair, if you check, it's actually at 27.74%, goods and services 20%, transfers 25%, and capital 16%. But the capital amount is very small. We monitor compensation very, very closely, Chair. Like I said, because of fiscal constraints, Treasury has kept COE. They've actually cut to the bone. So we monitor this very, very closely. As in, when a post is vacated, we sit and discuss whether should it be filled or not. And we then assess what the implications are for implementation of programs. So it's an exercise that we've engaged in. It's quite tight, and I thought I needed to mention that. So for deviations for program one, firstly the bursaries and audit costs, like for instance, we only pay the auditor general towards the end. We just had the Microsoft license, the 24 million must still be processed. The CETA levy that must be paid, but also purchasing of ITC equipment. For program two, which is at 23%, it was supposed to be at 25. Program two, again, we've advertised the post of the NHI aid. So that's one area where we're not spending. We didn't want to advertise, appoint someone, and we don't have policy. Now that policy is there, we advertise, we get someone to run that activity. Firstly, the COE executive management, like I said, we prioritize posts on a monthly basis. It's what we do repeatedly. And transfer payments also, we've got a policy that we don't transfer money until you are happy with the service level agreement and anybody has given us their audited financial statements, because we have to see performance, and based on that we only transfer. Sometimes it costs a bit of a delay, but for us it's a safeguard. And for the DRG project, this project will only be operational from November. For program 3, we are sitting at 24.47 against 25%. Again, the usual HPV, it's August and September, as well as February, March. So we'll only see with this period of August, September, an improvement in expenditure in that area, as well as the fridges. For primary health care, we're at 22.25, but COE is on target. It's basically goods and services. And just a correction, expenditure target is not 16.7, my apologies, it's 25%. Goods and services, several activities will take place in the second quarter, and also including transfer payments. For hospital tertiary health services and HR development, again in this area, Chair, the goods and services, the post of the DDG hospital services is being filled, and we also have outstanding invoices for health facilities refurbishment. And lastly, Chair, the the one that I refer to health regulation and compliance, that's the one that is at 46, purely because we're still holding funding for SAPRA. So it still reflects as if it's our expenditure. For others, NHLS, Medical Research Council, Office of Health Standard Compliance, they've received their 50% of annual allocation, and no SAPRA was made, no allocation for SAPRA. CCOD, again, is also in the process of procuring the lung function test machine. On conditional grant, I'll hand over to the CFO.
Thank you, Chair. So conditional grants for quarter one. Just to say that the National Department, we've transferred all the funds out to the provinces as per our DORA schedule and our cash flow agreement. But we also monitor the spending by provinces as well as what they receive from their provincial treasuries. So this is an overview. We've spent 23.7% of budget. Linearly, we're trying to spend 25% per quarter, but this is a slight improvement on expenditure rate for last year, which at the same period is just set at 22.7%. We're mostly within spending range for the training grant, the tertiary grant, the HIV grant, but as usual, our revive grant is slightly behind, and we know it's going to move towards the end of the financial year. A quick overview, and it's a busy slide, but I'll quickly explain it. The 23% at the bottom is the total expenditure against the 22.7%. As I said, we also monitor what was transferred to our provincial departments from treasuries, and you can see that there's around 530 million that has still not been transferred by the end of quarter one to provincial departments of health. And provincial treasuries also take a view on their own cash flow as well as on the trends by the provinces before they transfer. But normally this settles out towards the end of the financial year and the money gets transferred before year end. The training grant is sitting at 24% spent, 24.9% spent. We've got one province that is overspent at 40.8%. The big reason for that is that there's still incorrect linkages on their partial. So Free State, for instance, is doing a partial cleanup where all the exiting registrars have to be taken off, and there should be journals done to correct this position. We also have some other delays in Eastern Cape, for instance, the payments to the Rhodes University and the Walter Sisulu University. Some invoices by University of Pretoria were still outstanding by quarter one for payment. And there is some delays when it comes to procurement of medical equipment, and National Department has tried to intervene to create universal contracts as far as possible. The tertiary grant at 24%, essentially on target. The big thing with this is the way that provinces manage their personnel, and they have to continuously, monthly, do journals and correct this position. We don't foresee any underspent or overspent on this grant. HIV grant is slightly overspent at 25.9%. There is some pressures that are coming up, especially recently in Mpumalanga. They've raised the issue of the ARV expenditure, that they're definitely heading for an overspend on that. There's also obviously many accruals when it comes to Gauteng province in particular. They do have quite a number of accruals in Gauteng, especially on NHLS, and we're trying to assist them to some extent in dealing with it, but the province in general is under pressure with the accruals. The revert grant, as I said, is 15.5% spent. Sorry. At 15.5% expenditure. You can also see that is only about 66% of what we've transferred to the provinces. So there is some delays, especially in Mpumalanga, showing quite underspent together with Eastern Cape. The Limpopo is actually spending within the norm, and Northwest has got specific pressures in terms of the commitments, and we have undertaken to assist, especially Northwest, with construction projects that are ahead of schedule, and we'll do adjustments during the adjustments phase. The one issue that provinces keep on struggling with is the appointment of proper skills. In the grant, there is a provision per province to appoint appropriate skills, but this has been proven very, very difficult to do. Little medical equipment, many orders have been placed, even at national, and those equipments are only due for delivery probably in the second or third quarter of the financial year. And then just the continuous slow performance of our contractors, and to some extent even our implementing agents, need to be taken up with provinces. So this is just a breakdown in the province. You can see most provinces are more or less in the region, Northern Cape slightly behind in terms of total expenditure, and Northwest in particular the department that shows a degree of overspent or potential overspent at the moment. Our indirect grant, we're sitting initially our GP contracting grant managed, you know, was quite underspent in two financial years, last financial year and this financial year. We're actually quite ahead of expenditure, and we're actually seeing a potential overspend on these grants, and we've made some adjustments that we will gazette during the adjustment stage. But essentially, we're sitting at 55% of the HP contracting component already spent. As CCMDD, as the DG has mentioned, in particular, we're looking to expand it, but we also need to make some adjustments in terms of expenditure, otherwise we're in for quite a bit of a overspend here. The information systems hasn't spent anything at the end of the first quarter. We have made some adjustments between our capital and goods and services allocations, but we've placed orders for about 3,000 odd computers that will be sent to the provinces to assist with that project. The Revive grant indirect portion at 22%, slightly under. We're still positive that we'll be able to spend most of these funds. Unfortunately, some of these components that do not spend right now will have to make good for the potential overspend under the HP contracting component. We will be allowed to do those adjustments within the total basket of the indirect grant component. HPV, as we said, is expected mostly in August, September, and in the last quarter of the financial year. So we don't foresee any major risk of underspending on the HPV component. I think I basically touched on all of this. The only thing on the revive component is just the health technology, the issue of equipment. We also intervened in KZN to some extent to assist with the health technology spent on oncology, and it means that we have to reprioritize this budget almost on a quarterly basis as our needs arise. The idle clinic components, we've completed the equipment list. The amount is, you know, very small, it's about 10 million or so, but we don't foresee any underspend there. And it's also used for peer reviews amongst provinces, and reports can be made available for that. And as I said, HPV vaccines, there's still outstanding payments from provinces, but we also expect major increases in the third and fourth quarter of the financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chair and CFO. Honourable members, there is the report. Any questions, comments, clarities? Honourable Ndaba, Honourable James, Honourable Thembekwayo, then Honourable Mahlalele. Honourable Ndaba.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on Programme 3, I see here that I think this program is dealing with HIV and AIDS and TB, maternal and child health. I see here the transfers that were supposed to have been done for NGOs amounting to 51.5 million were not done. And in the report, Chair, it says they were awaiting service level agreements that were supposed to be, I don't know whether were supposed to be reviewed by the DG or not. But Chairperson, I think my main worry is that these NGOs are servicing the poor of the poorest. And how is the status now, Chair? Because I don't think they'll be able to render quality health care if they don't have resources. Can the DG explain to us maybe on what is the status now? And in terms of them not being resourced, how are they rendering the services, and how are the patients being affected, and what is the impact? That is my first question, Chair. And that was on program 3, né? And in program 1, National Treasury has recommended that the department must not fill any additional posts, and I think I take it that it's due to financial what, but I'm sure that the DG can be able to explain it. But I want to check from the DG Chair, how does this affect the department? Because we are witnesses, Chair, that in some of the facilities there is a poor service delivery in terms of healthcare due to shortages of staff. So, and how is the department intending to improve or maybe to do something with regards to this? Because, Chair, there's no way that health facilities can live with shortage of staff the way the status is now as we speak. So I think this is one critical point that all of us, we have interest in, and it can be, Chair. Can the DG maybe give us an explanation on what is the status now, and how are they intending to address this issue, Chair? And okay. I wanted to ask about security system in this building, Chair. How do you read it? Civitas building. Yeah, it's a question. And then on program 2, the department, in terms of school health, Chairperson, I think the department, all of us were happy that nurses are going to the schools, doing the screenings and so forth. But, you know, my main concern is after doing that screening to those children, what is the department doing? Because, Chair, I don't think that we do screening for the sake of screening. We do screening for the sake of ensuring that if there are problems, there are health problems, we are going to render a service and make sure that those children, if a child has got a problem of hearing and so on, that child will be assisted. But if we are doing a screening for the sake of screening, then I'll have a problem. Can the department at least tell us, after the screening, what do they do? Because I remember in one of the meetings, the DTU was explaining to us that they have screened, I don't know, thousands of children and so on and so on. But my main worry is, what do they do after that? And then, in Ireland, on program Okay, on program four, in terms of governance, even now the DG when she was presenting is that all our primary healthcare facilities, they need to have clinic committees. And I think even ourselves when we're doing oversight, we've seen some of them. But I think the challenge that they've raised with us, Che, is with regards to the stipend. Whether the department has got a policy on how then are they going to give them stipend, like a hospital board. I know for the fact that hospital boards, they do get a stipend for meetings that they sit. Ne? But in terms of clinic committees, I think we got a lot of complaints. Do they have any policy maybe to address that matter? Because some of them, I can see that you do have intention to develop them and train them. But in terms of the stipend, do you have any policy regarding that? Why was the funding? Okay, DG, can you also, I think with regards to program six, you spoke about CCOD. You were explaining about something about CCOD. I wanted her to repeat what she was saying because I did not hear her properly. If she can explain that again, whether it was regarding to transfers or what that was supposed to be given to CCOD or what. That was my last question, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable James.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first welcome the presentation and say that I think the committee is very much pleased with the progress made on the traditional healers' progress. Because I can remember when we started, I think it was on 2014, and now the third year we are getting a report on the progress, which is quite, I welcome that with. Also, let me also welcome what you're doing on page 14 of Program 2, the Patient Experience of Care Survey Guidelines. I think that is also very much important to our communities, so we can also have a voice from them and understand and also be able to guide the department on what changes should be done, what are their problems when they get to the clinics, so that when the department does their planning, at least they know how the community, they have the voice of the community, which is very important, more than everybody else. Then let me now come to my few questions, I think. What is your strategy? What are you going to do with the underspending on the health facility for revitalization grant? Because, most of the facilities in the poorer areas, they really need to be upgraded and really need to be, made to look like real health facilities. And also, within that revitalization, making sure that because some are very small, they are being revitalized to speak to the challenges of today, that is one. The other question that I have, last time when you came to give a presentation, your blood alcohol and toxicology also was a problem still and still is. How are you going to improve it? Second round time. Because this is not the first time that we're hearing the poor and well, how are we going to improve
on that one. Does all the provinces have plans on how to deal with malnutrition? Recently, Stats SA revealed a scary percentage of people going to bed without food, and we know for the fact that we have, you know, a big problem with malnutrition in children under 5. Is there a plan? Is there that you've developed as a department, of course not yourselves, only with other sister departments, your social development, others, on how to curb that and lower the percentage that we have on children dying because they're hungry. I also have a problem with, what is the problem with provinces delaying in submitting invoices on the ideal clinic? How are you going to try and get provinces to because ideal clinic is so important. It will really reduce most of the problems that we have in the clinics of the Alpha. You must remember, clinics are for the poorer, for not for anyone else. No one has to go to the clinic. And because they don't have medical aid, they have to go to the clinic. And somehow this needs to be made sure that the IV clinic becomes a reality, not just a dream on paper. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Timber Question.
Thank you very much. This was indeed a very extensive type of report, but I would like to thank you very much. I would like to comment on page 18. With regard to the booklet, Road to Health booklet, where mention was made that the revised Road to Health booklet will be distributed to 52 district offices and the offices as at the 1st of April 2018 to 2019. My problem is taking into account high illiteracy level in South Africa, as nearly estimated to 5 million. My problem would be, how would the illiterate people of South Africa be able to can read the information as it is contained in that Road to Health booklet, because you are talking about mere distribution. I mean, distribution can just be where you put a pile of information on the table. When people enter, they can just grab. But if we have this high rate of illiteracy, then it means there are quite a number of people who visit clinics who cannot be able to can understand what the contents there are. And I also would like to ask about the media campaigns. How would the media campaigns play a significant role in this regard? Especially as it is mentioned under Program 3, where I would like to have a response in regard to, can the department report on mass media communications campaign it runs? If we can have just information pertaining to this alone. Under Program 4, I would request the department to report on the under expenditure in Program 4. And also an update about the committee on the rollout of the ideal clinics. And A mention was made, definitely, but I would like to repeat it, especially under Program 4, where the DG mentioned that there is always a delay of the submitting of the invoices by the provinces, which is definitely a major problem. So something must be done in connection with the speeding up the submission of the invoices. Please update the committee on the training of medical students and in particular the registrars, as it is a very high shortage nationally. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, and thanks for the quarterly presentation. Well, mine is first just to check on this. Just as a clarity, was I'm getting confused on the reporting around the number of provinces that did display or demonstrate improvements on the audit outcomes. I see you are saying 4 department obtain and qualified audit, and then deviation is nil, but we've said the annual target is 5. I'm not sure when do you start reporting on the annual target. That's where the difficulty is. Because our understanding, and that's what we've been arguing, that if you are helping provinces to improve audit outcome, you can't wait until the end of the year. There must be quarterly activities that we're doing. And our expectation is that between now and June, you should be telling us what is it that you've been doing to assist provinces. Because you can't wait until the audit is conducted, then from there you report on it. Does that, because the report gives an impression that between now and June, on this area of work, the national department is doing nothing. But when you were responding to the recommendation on the presentation of the budget, you said you are doing something about it. And this something that we are doing, one will expect to be reflected on a quarterly basis. What is it? So that you are able to understand what assistance on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis is the national department providing to provinces to improve their audit outcome. But this one doesn't give us that picture, doesn't tell us that story. And at the end of the financial year, when you report so many as regress, it seems like it becomes a surprise, while it shouldn't be a surprise. Because if you are monitoring and assisting them, you will be able to detect this thing in advance, and you will be able on a quarterly basis to tell us, to say, no, we're smelling a rat in province A, because these are the things that they are not doing right, because you're monitoring them on a quarterly basis. But we're not getting that feeling as you give your quarterly report. And it's a very worrying factor, because until such time that you've got financials stability and sustainability in provinces. Services are going to be compromised one way or another. And these are the things that we're worried about, because most provinces accrues, which is not in essence, should not, it's not accrual in principle, as the CFO was raising. Because accrual, you can't have a problem with accrual. But what's happening in provincial departments, accruals are a problem. Accruals in accounting terms, it's not a problem. But in the Department of Health, accrual is a problem in all provinces. Why is it a problem? It's because in essence it's not accrual. Because if they had money, they would have paid. But because by around November, they start running out of cash. So from December, January, February, March, they stop paying. So that they don't incur unauthorized expenditure. So when they start a new financial year, they then, on the new budget that they must get, that's why even their plans, as you're assisting them in the plan, I see somewhere you're saying, working them to on their national, on their provincial plan. But you can't deal with the plans without linking it to the budget. Because if the plan doesn't correlate to the budget, it's obvious that plan is not a plan, because it's not going to be fully implemented. And most of the plans of provinces doesn't correlate to their budget. Because what they plan for this financial year, before they start spending on that plan, they must pay for what they could not pay in the previous financial year. That's the trend. Yeah. We're with KZN here. The MEC was telling that they think they will have an accrual of close to 1.9 billion rand. That's not an accrual. Because when we accrue, you still have the money. You are going to roll over that money. If you accrue 10 million, it means your expenditure of the budget, you must be left with 10 million that you are going to request for treasurer to roll over, and then use that money that you have rolled over to pay the accruals. But it's not like that in provinces. And that's the biggest problem. And therefore, even if you assist them in the plans, as long as you don't address the issue of the financial management system, those plans are just plans that cannot be realized, cannot be implemented, because they don't relate to the budget at all. It becomes a wish list in most instances. So I would have thought that, therefore, Chair, in this issue of improvement of audit outcomes, it becomes a focus area, and therefore on a quarterly basis, we're able to understand how the provinces are managing their financial issues, so that we're able to track on them. And the only way of us then tracking on them with it, because we can't be always going to provinces, it's not practical, not possible. But if national is able on a quarterly basis, as they report on the improvement of finances, they are able to tell us how our provinces' budget being managed and performing. We'll be able, therefore, to understand exactly what is happening. So the issue of annual target, for me, that's why I still insist, it's a big problem.
For example, TG, where we are reporting about infrastructure, it's all annual targets, which means we must wait until the end of the year to understand how Clinic A or Hospital A is progress on maintenance, on refurbishment and all. Why must we wait until the end of the year for us to understand that? Why should it be a year for us to understand what progress is being made on a maintenance of a particular facility? What progress is being made on the refurbishment of a particular facility? Because that's the implication of this report. It says, no, in terms of maintenance, repair, refurbishment, we must wait for the year to end. Then after that, it's only then that we'll understand what progress is being made. Which means even if we want to undertake an oversight visit, our oversight visit won't be measured through what the department said is going to do, because we don't know. We don't know at what level should the maintenance be at a particular quarter. We don't know what the department expects refurbishment to be at a particular quarter. We don't know what a repair is supposed to be at a particular court. So that when we go and do an oversight visit, when we go to our constituents' period, if there are facilities in my constituents, I must be able to see what progress is being made based on the quarterly report. But because it's annualized, so I must wait until the end of the year. So if there is low pace, if there are challenges, we must wait until the end of the year to then understand, oh, there were these challenges. So that's why the facility could not be repaired or refurbished. And for me, that's a problem. I remember in the APP, when we're dealing with the APP, we requested a list of those projects. We were not given. I still ask Chair that this list that is on page 25 of the 197 facilities in the NHI pilot sites and the 321, 42 clinics and all those, we still request that list. So that at least we have got that list. Where are they located in terms of provinces, districts, and municipalities? So that at least we are able, therefore, if they are in my constituents, I will be able to, during constituent period, to be able to check whether those things are happening. Because the annual report the quarterly report is unable to tell us what's happening. And then on page 9, just a clarity, DG, I see this positive 72, which is a deviation. Can you explain where does that positive 72 comes from? Because the annual target is 3,300, quarter is 3,200, achieved is 3,272. So when you minus I don't know what the 72, where is it coming from? Is it coming from the 3,200? Or is it coming from the 3,300? But when it's from the 3,300, it gives you something else. And how does it become positive? Because I'm trying to understand Where is it coming from? Whether it's coming from the 3,200, and then if it's coming from the 3,200, it's positive, then there's a 72, which is positive of how many? Because it's not very clear to me, because the total there, we have got 3,081 PH facility and 191 hospital. That gives you 3,272. And when you subtract it from 3,200, is the one that makes 72. But what makes it positive, the 72? Because it doesn't say what was the, what, whether that 3,200 was a quarterly, it's a quarterly target, and therefore the annual target is 3,300. Which it's not very clear for me whether then quarter you wanted to achieve 3,300 then, I mean per annum, or it's something that on a quarterly basis, which is annualized, is what you want to achieve. So if you can just clarify that so that one get it properly. And then the issue of the ward based teams. We are saying this is the number that is on the ground. Is it possible to update us? Because as you recall that when we, in all the provinces that we visited last year, there were problems with these warbird teams. Went to Northwest, there was a big problem. Went to Free State, there was a problem. Does West in Gauteng. Has those problems been resolved? And does that number include those teams in those provinces? In particular, where we visited, where we were mainly visiting the pilot sites. Kenneth Kaunda in Northwest, and then in Free State, and then Tswane in the Gauteng. And there were big problems in all the three provinces, in all these pilot sites, about this issue of the warbird teams. In Gauteng, there was a fight about smart pass and all those things. In Northwest, the contract had expired of what the team managers, therefore no more reporting to work. And then in Free State, there were also some challenges around payments and all those issues. So because before saying no, they are there, fine, functioning. Are those problems resolved? That has been raised with us. And then the governance structures, that you have already gone around and assessed. What have you found? What have you discovered? I'm raising this because everywhere where I've gone, I've not seen a fully functional clinic committee. And I've always asked this question, how do you how do you, what are the yardstick or the measures that you use to come to the conclusion that a clinic committee is functional? What are the measures that you use to say, no, a clinic committee, this clinic committee is functional? Beyond meetings, if there are meetings, so that at least you understand when you say this is a functional clinic, what exactly does it mean? And then the on page 28, just a clarity on the numbers, how do you calculate the malaria issues? You are saying the annual target is 0.2, and then per quarter we have got 0.2. I'm not sure whether that's what you have achieved per quarter. And then we have then exceeded by 0.1. What was the target per quarter, if that was? Because the 0.2 is an annual target. And then we have achieved that 0.2 per quarter. And then we said, no, you've exceeded by 0.1. What was the quarterly target? What was the quarterly target? Because the 0.2 is an annual one. And then on the first quarter, you have achieved that annual target. Then you're saying, no, you have exceeded it. Then what was the quarterly target? If there was a quarterly target. So that we understand exactly what is that on the quarter that you have achieved. And then on the budget, just one clarity on the budget. The last slide is saying you have got 83 million that is outstanding, which is attributed to the payment of the vaccine. And then on the, is there a reason why this is not paid? What could have been the reason for the non-payment of the said vaccine that then results towards underspending And then those provinces that are underperforming, especially on the health facility, on the revitalization count, I've not understand exactly what the reason. There are some that it's very scary. There are some that is very, very scary. Eastern Cape is 8.3. It's very worrisome. And the problem is that always when you come to the, as you'll be coming in October, you will still report that these provinces have been underperforming on this and this and this, and we seem to not have a solution to the problem. Because the health, this revite, you could see its performance is very, very poor, 15% in total. But there are worrying provinces like your Eastern Cape, your Free State, Gauteng, KZN, West Mpumalanga, at 4.8. Do you think they are going to pick up at 4.8? Will there be a miracle that's going to happen? That at 4.8 in the first quarter, then there will be drastical improvement, especially now, because we're dealing with revitalization, it's infrastructure. Very soon it will be raining seasons and all those conditions and all those things. Do you think there's going to be a drastic improvement? And is there a relationship between this expenditure of infrastructure to the annualized target, the annualized target on infrastructure that you've reported, that I was raising earlier on, the one that on program 5. Where it talks about the maintenance, repair, and refurbishment. Is there a relationship of this revitalized grant and these projects that are listed here that we are going to report on an annual basis? So that we understand, because if there is a relationship, then it becomes more important that we must get what is happening per quarter. Because if some province at 4%, 8%, then it means it's a huge, huge problem in relation to those maintenance, repairs, and refurbishment of those facilities. And everywhere where we've gone, in particular Free State and Northwest, the infrastructure is in a very bad state. But provinces are not spending money for revitalization. It's a very worrying matter. When you've got such an expenditure, but to go to the provinces, the infrastructure is very bad. The NCOP was in Free State. When they came back, everybody was saying, is this our health facilities? Unfortunately, we could not be able to join them. But there was a huge complaint about how our facilities are in Free State. And that's what we saw it of in ourselves. Some were mostly around four-room houses, more like four-room houses and all those things. One hospital called Manapo Hospital, the chair was even saying, if we had the authority and power, we would have recommended that a closed hospital should be closed down, because the state it was a very horrible state. But we have got Free State underspending on revitalization. Doesn't make logic, doesn't make sense to me. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Chair. On program 1, we would like to know why the lease on Civitas building cost more than projected. Isn't there a lease agreement in place with a negotiated lease amount? And on program 2, how is recruitment of health professionals for the school health program doing? Is it progressing very well? And the National Treasury noted previously that the main purpose of the NHI grant is to pilot innovations for contracting healthcare services, and that the department should ensure that such innovations are piloted within the current funding provisions. Is that reasonable or unreasonable, or is it doable or undoable? And if so, what do you suggest? On program 3, the department should report on the supply of condoms, including the femidoms. And is this new type of condoms cost effective? And seeing that there is less spend on condoms nowadays, maybe they work very well, and is the new infections reduced or not because of that? And don't we think that maybe sanitary towels can also help in reducing new infections on some other grounds? But you understand what I'm trying to say. The idea here is, are we winning the battle against new infections? Because we see that you are no more spending much on condoms since the new brand, Max or whatever, has come into play. And the other grouping of are very vulnerable when they don't have any sanitary towels. So if they do have, they can be sort of independent and actually overcome certain weaknesses. What are we doing about that? On program 4, can the department update us on the rollout of the ideal clinics? It looks like maybe it's a long, long time ago that we got any report on the rollout. Is it now finalized, finished, or is still going on? Now, on program 5, please update us on the training of medical students and particularly registrars. And the random testing of salt content in foodstuff, is it working? Do we find that it is actually achieving the purpose that it was supposed to achieve? And how is the training and education of EMS personnel progressing? Is there any discernible progress in this? Are they improving as a result? Is there any improvement as a result of this? Well, I think the rest have been asked. I shouldn't go on for the sake of going on. Thanks.
Honorable Kunz.
Sure, thank you.
Can you please use your mic?
Yes. On a page on slide number 5, we have quarter one performance. Four provincial departments of health obtained unqualified audit opinions for 2016-2017. I'm interested to know these four. Are they the usuals that are always giving us the results such as this, or others have joined? No improvements. The provinces that have been addressing are amongst these four. I would like to just get clarity on that one, because it would be interesting to know if there are improvements or on which provinces, so that we could maybe give some advice. On page or slide number 14, the department is in the nine provincial APPs, annual performance plans reviewed and aligned to the national health system priorities. You were saying the committee or what you are actually dealing with when you meet the committee and the department, you talk national targets, performances, the actuals and things like that, and you are interested to know if the committee will also be keen to have what you receive from the provinces. In other words, you would like to share what the provinces are sharing with you in as far as the actual performances are concerned. I would say yes to that. And if we get to know what exactly is happening, the better. Especially, I mean, I wouldn't say no to actually giving us provinces and their progress and problems. In slide or program number one, Department of Health is, you know, litigations and things like that is something of.
Oh, Honorable Consul, you're too soft. It's either you're talking away, you're away from the mic.
Okay.
Because remember that these proceedings are to be recorded, you must pick up.
No, I'm saying, Chair, program number one, we talk about the legal costs, but I would like to know how much is budgeted for the legal costs. And number six, the department should update the committee on the current functioning of the Compensation Commissioner for Occupational Diseases. That would be mine, Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Members. DJ, I would, in the response, I think in one I've then been covered in terms of the audit on Ideal Clinic, and my question is based on the fact that the Western Cape was the last to come to the party. What is then the situation in terms of the state of Ideal Clinic in the Western Cape? Two, on infrastructure, I think members have spoken about that, but I would appreciate if you can update us. When we conducted oversight in the Western Cape, there was one institution at Bambisanani, and it was our understanding that that was a national project. How far is that? Do you monitor? Because obviously it's what is to be conducted by district, and do you monitor the skilling of clinic committees? I will also put, hospital boards, because I think that is very important to us. On page, in terms of revenue generating, do you have a system in place that monitors if provinces in the institutions that are to, I'm talking about the model of
revenue retention in central hospitals, to have a system which is enabling you to monitor which are those that are lacking, which are those that have got very poor systems. The last one, which always makes me to panic, you said the Treasury has made a recommendation on the filling of posts. What makes me to panic is that this sector is a sector that warm bodies are enabling it to render services. There's no robot that is going to give an injection. Make an example. And there's no robot that is going to feed a patient. There's no robot that is going to perform an operation. What is it that you have? Have you made it clear to Treasury that this sector, with the financial challenges that we're having in this country, but this is the sector that is, even in education, well, better in education, they can use an IT. But there is no IT system that can do the basics in the health sector. So my question is, what have you made it clear to Treasury? And please be open and honest to us so that we are able as the committee to say what then are we to do. Because I'm raising this because we are there on the ground every day, every hour of the day. We are bombarded by communities' shortage of staff. Members in their constituency areas, they come back to enjoy, you are the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Nitini, what are you saying about this? Because patients are waiting hours because there's a shortage of staff. I am not implying that there may be some leadership and management problems. A case in point is a clinic in PE, Ward 19, where the clinic was closed. People have gone to study. Others, I have never in my experience and history in the sector, there can never be a clinic that everybody, if there are six, four of them are on study leave, two are, and the clinic has been, so that touches into management and leadership style. You can that put that aside, but in other areas. So I would like to I'm laboring on this because I want to hear what has been your role and your response when Treasury has come with this recommendation, in particular in this sector. What we will do now, honourable members, we will we'll just have some 10 minutes break to allow you to set up the questions. The only thing that you didn't elaborate on, I'm sorry, it's mental health. What is the situation now in the event and in the light of what transpired in Gauteng? Because I know for a fact that as the department, as the country, has been very weak in this. But with these challenges that have emerged, are there any improvements? Are there any plans that are going to give ourselves and the country and the community a hope that in terms of mental health, at least now there is going to be an improvement in moving forward? We will break for 10 minutes and then we will come back and allow Honorable Nkonzo.
Sorry, Chair, sorry, we're still summarizing. But just the attitude, the zero under HIV and AIDS, TB, maternal and child welfare, slide number 21, where six facilities reviewed during the provincial supervisory and support visits. And under quarter one performance, zero. If maybe she could input on that.
Okay. I think I will assume that she is ready, and then we will come again. I'm told there's no tea, we'll have lunch, but we'll have leg stretch. We'll then come back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.